Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus today. Glad to be here with you this morning to receive the Lord's gift, both in word and sacrament today. What a blessed and beautiful day he's given us today, the day that the Lord has made. If you're joining us on the radio, we thank you for tuning into our service as well and wish you the Lord's blessings too. God is faithful, is he not? To carry us through, to bring us what we need, to always be with us according to his promise. We'll talk more about his faithfulness to be with us later in this service. Our service begins today with hymn number 411, I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light. And we invite you on the last verse of that hymn to please stand if you're able. Let's sing together hymn 411. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word and call upon him in prayer and praise and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us and given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in his name, he gives the power to become the children of God and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all.
Amen.
Amen. We continue with our intro from Psalm 85 this morning. Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness meet, righteousness and peace kiss each other. Righteousness will go before him and make his footsteps away. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord of all power and might, author and giver of all good things, graft into our hearts the love of your name and nourish us with all goodness that we may love and serve our neighbor. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament lesson for today comes from the book of 1 Kings in the 19th chapter, hearing about Elijah and his struggles as a prophet and how hard it gets for him. We begin in verse 9. Behold, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shapheth and Abimelech, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall put Jehu to death. And the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shapheth, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him, and he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and cast his cloak upon him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" And he returned from following him and took the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the yokes of the oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with our epistle lesson from the book of Galatians in the 5th chapter. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to stand for our Alleluia and the reading of the Holy Gospel. Gospel according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. He sent messengers ahead of him who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We invite you to join us now in confessing our faith to the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father
Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us sin, for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate of the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us in the conscious time. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures. And ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge the baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Would you join us now in singing our next hymn? That's hymn 685, Let Us Ever Walk with Jesus.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Get me out of this. You ever said that phrase? A situation in your life, something going on, maybe even something medical, something relationship-based, a problem, a struggle, a trauma, a drama. Get me out of this. It is so, so often the cry of God's people. So often on our lips and in our prayers to remove us from the struggles of life. It's a cry for freedom. It's a cry for deliverance. And if you look back over the whole corpus of Holy Scripture, we see this theme everywhere we look. Adam and Eve seek to get out of the punishment after they've sinned in the garden by blaming each other. Well, at least Eve and Satan get blamed. People are always wanting out. The people of Earth, back in Genesis, they wanted out of the command to go and multiply and fill the earth. So what'd they do but stay and build a tower in Babel? Abraham and Sarah wanted out of being childless, not having a son. Joseph asked Pharaoh's cupbearer back in Genesis 40 to get him out. Israel wanted out of Egypt in their bondage and slavery. And then when they got out, they were in the desert and they wanted out of the desert too. Hannah wanted out of her barrenness and she begged God for that at Shiloh. And David says in the 140th Psalm, "Deliver me, O Lord, from the hands of evil men." He wants out of his situation with Saul. And Jonah, he desperately wanted out of his call to go to Nineveh, so much so that he took matters into his own hands, if you remember, and boarded a ship to sail for Tarshish. Then he prays out of his certain death in the belly of the fish, "I want out." No doubt Daniel wanted out of the lion's den, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wanted out of the flames of the fiery furnace, and Judah wanted out of Babylon during their exile. And Job definitely, without a doubt, wanted out of his suffering. And this morning, consider Elijah in the 19th chapter of 1 Kings, the great prophet who did amazing things, who had some big W's, especially right before this with the prophets at Baal, when he really, well, God, through him, conquered. But now he wants out. He wants God to turn him loose from his responsibilities. He wants relief from his running from Queen Jezebel and deliverance from being what he understood, although sadly wrong, that he was the only one left who hadn't bowed a knee to Baal. It's funny how when we want out of something, we feel alone. Remember Joseph? He wanted out of being betrothed to a pregnant lady, resolving to divorce her quietly. Even the Apostle Peter wants out of his association to Jesus the night before his crucifixion when he denies him three times. And even between the Old Testament and the New Testament, Israel fought to get out from foreign domination. And in our gospel reading this morning, the disciples want out from having to deal with these Samaritans, so they ask Jesus, "Should we call fire down from heaven and consume them?" Jesus rebukes them. John the Baptist, if you remember him, he wanted out of prison, so much so that he sends his disciples to Jesus saying, "Are you the one, or should we look for another?" But his end is an execution. So what is it about being human and on the earth that we always want out? We say it all the time. Come, Lord Jesus. Put an end to this mess of sin that we see going around. Get us out of our suffering here on earth. Help us as we watch the world slip deeper and deeper into sin and what looks like chaos sometimes to us. We live and we breathe each day as our bodies age and get older. And some days we just want out. Out of our problems, out of our suffering, out of our issues, out of our trauma, out of our drama. And what student hasn't sat there the night before a big test and asked Jesus to just come back before the next day in class? I've done it. I bet you have too. We want relief. We want deliverance. We want out. But like Elijah, and like Israel, and like nearly every Bible character in these true and historic accounts, God doesn't always give us a way out, does he? But instead, a way through. A way through it all. He goes with Joseph into Egypt, with Abraham and Sarah to Canaan, with Israel through the wilderness of sin, with David in his kingship, with Daniel in the lion's den, with the men in the flames of the fiery furnace. Literally, they saw him there. For there was another in the flames. He was with his disciples in their absolute ignorance of what he was doing on earth. He was with Job. He was with Jonah. He was with Hannah. He was with Joseph. And brothers and sisters, he wants you to know that he's with you too. And whatever you're facing and whatever you're trying to get out of, he comes to deliver. That's what our reading from the book of Galatians said. For freedom, Christ has set us free. But this freedom isn't to get out in haste, like our flesh so wants. We see it all the time in our epidemic of divorce. People just want out in haste. God's a deliverer. God comes to save and bring salvation, but not selfishly in haste. Our freedom is for the purpose of something else. That's for the purpose of love. Love for the neighbor. We're free, but we're free to live for God and each other. We're so free, in fact, that we get to stay in and go through for his purpose and not our own. See, our purpose would be to get out of any struggle or any pain or any suffering. But his purpose is that we stay in, free in him to serve not ourselves any longer, but the one who died for us and our neighbor with his love. Isaiah the prophet says it this way: he comes to set the captives free. Jesus is our salvation. He is our true and only way out. But first, like he does in all the scriptures, he's going to lead us through. If you recall the 23rd Psalm, says, "Lo, as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me." It doesn't say, in the valley of the shadow of death, God just teleports us out. But we go through with him and trust in him, fearing no evil. Why? Because he's faithful. Because he's with us, and because he's made us free. There's no immediate magic that takes Israel from Egypt to Canaan. No, they have to go through. God doesn't force Jonah to go to Nineveh, but remains faithful to him as he goes through what he needs to go through to understand. And the same with Elijah. He doesn't let him bail out. At the end of our reading, it says Elisha goes to do what? To assist. Elijah's still in it. God's going to lead him through these things for God's purpose. And it's the same for us. Because the worst and the most difficult times in our lives, friends, are when we're trying to get out. Those are the moments we feel alone. And those are the moments we feel purposeless. And those are the moments we feel confused when we're hung up on trying to get out of something. That, not God, that makes us miserable. We feel trapped and stuck. And by our faith, we're not trapped and stuck. We're free. Once we understand something and identify something as our in our lives as a suffering or something that's difficult, something that's persecution towards us, and we decide we want out, that's where the suffering will begin. And why? Mainly because we forget what God is doing in the middle of that situation. We forget that we're free. We're here in the middle of the sinful world, but we are not in bondage. We are the children of God, joint heirs with Christ, brothers and sisters with Christ, with a holy and eternal purpose to bring love and forgiveness to places where it's never shined a light in that darkness. We're free because he's with us. When we want out, we become blind to his companionship, his faithfulness, his leading, and we start to believe a lie. The lie that we have to get out of this or that situation. A lie that says, God must get me out of this or he doesn't love me. Well, that's tough because we've all been there. Where are you, Lord? Why won't you help me? Get me out of this. And then we blame him if he doesn't. The voice that says that he doesn't love you is the voice of the devil. The voice that says he's not helping you and he's not with you and he's not carrying you in his faithfulness, that's the voice of Satan. And I don't know what situation for all of us that we're trying to get out of right now, but I bet there's at least one. I urge you to reconsider the way you've been thinking about that. Try and see how God is leading you through that right now for his purpose. Instead of blaming him for not teleporting you out of that trouble. I can't believe how easy it is for all of us to get drunk on this idea of just escaping the troubles. We despise suffering so much, even though it was suffering that saved us. We despise it. And it causes us to say, I don't see God helping me in this situation. You know how many times I've heard this? I prayed and asked God for help, and you know what? He didn't show up. No. He didn't bail you out, but he was there the whole time, leading you through, teaching us, giving us his endurance, his love, his patience, his joy, his kindness, all the fruits of the Spirit that we heard. If he loved me, he'd get me out, the voice of the devil. But it's weird how we'll already decide how we want God to help us in any given trouble that we have, and then if he doesn't march to our orders, then what? I urge you to reconsider whatever you're trying to get out of right now. And see how God is leading you through and teaching you and being faithful to you and forgiving you. So often he's leading us through, not getting us out. And consider your Lord Jesus. Even Jesus asked to get out. Remember the night before his crucifixion in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prays, "Lord, if it be your will, take this cup from me. But nevertheless, not my will be done, but thy will be done," he says. He's not holding against you and me the fact that we want out of this mess. He's really not. He understands. He came to save and to deliver. But he's going to do that deliverance and that salvation and that freedom in his way and not yours or mine. If God's will is not to get me or you out of whatever we're trying to get out of, then rest assured, he'll lead you through it. And he certainly isn't to blame for the situation that we're in. He is our way out. Real quick, think of Paul and Silas when they were in prison in Philippi in Acts chapter 16. No doubt they wanted out of that prison after they'd been beaten and then cast in chains. But notice what they do when they realize that God's not going to teleport them out of that prison right at that moment. They're stuck in there. Do you remember what they do? But they pray and they sing hymns. And that's what we do too. Then there's a great earthquake there too in the book of Acts. And the chains fall off and they could literally leave. But guess what? They don't. They stay for the sake of their neighbor, the Philippian jailer. And by their staying, him and his whole household are saved. They could get out and they don't meet being a Christian. We're here, but we're free. We're here, but we're in service to Christ. And the purpose of our lives is not a self-fulfilling desire of lust and pleasure, which so many live every moment according to those terms. But we live free to love our God and our neighbor as ourselves. God has a greater heavenly purpose for you and your situation right now. One that you may have not seen. So that we might move on from the milk of the word and feed on the meat and see that though we want out of that situation, he wants to lead us through it for his purpose. And that's exactly why it's happening. Consider this morning that God's work in this world is to rescue, to get us out. But first, he will do what he's always done through the course of the whole corpus of Scripture. And by his grace and his mercy and his faithfulness and his forgiveness, he will lead us through. Take comfort in that. It's what the Bible teaches. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. This time, we invite the congregation to please stand, if you're able, for our prayer of the church this morning. Our response for our prayers today is, "Hear our prayer." God of our salvation, when your Son set his face to go to Jerusalem and to the cross, his zeal would not be deterred. Grant us to pray with the same fervor and boldness, trusting that you hear us for the sake of the Son of Man. Lord, in your mercy, God of the church, You give pastors and church workers to proclaim your steadfast love, to announce freedom from the yoke of slavery to sin, and to point all to the cross of Christ, to show each and every person that it's through suffering that we gain the victory, and our Lord has suffered for us through his blessed and faithful work. Lord, encourage us that our labor in the Lord might not be in vain. Lord, in your mercy, God of the living, you set us free from bondage into the works of the flesh that we may live and walk by the Spirit. Bring forth the fruits of the same in us, love and joy, peace and patience, kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, give your grace and spirit to the nations and those who lead them, especially our nation's president and Congress, our governor and legislature, and all who make and administer and judge our laws. Teach us to wisely contend for the faith within the public square so that your voice may be heard by all people. Inspire us and equip us by your Spirit, O Lord, that we may be led to every virtue and character and holiness of life. For in these things and in all things, we fully depend on you. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. God of refuge, your salvation draws near to all who trust in you. Grant peace to your people and show us your salvation. Lord, hear our petitions for healing and strength and comfort for those we name before you at this time at the altar. We name before you Kim King, Lauren Ohawe, James Wright, the Yetzi family, Larry Wilcox, Jeff Autopolic, Gail Nelson, Audra Rendon, Greg Gonzalez, Sandy Cody, Larry Reinbarger, Rob Miller, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Donna Ford, Debbie Ford, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. O Lord, be near to them as you lead them through, as the refuge for the weary that you are, and the God who preserves his people. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. God of holiness, in this heavenly food and drink, you graft into our hearts the love of your name. As you create new hearts within us, bless us with the fruit of the Spirit, that our love for you might be expressed for our neighbor's good. Lord, in your mercy. O God of rest, though we are sojourners through this life on earth, we pray that you would grant us safety and strengthen all our travels, and most especially for the journey of this mortal life, until that day when we rest in your presence and know the fullness of your promise, when all things will be brought to their perfect consummation and bliss. Keep us in Christ, holy and blameless. It's in his name that we say, Lord, have mercy. O Lord, keep us in repentance and faith, that we may not depart from Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Bring to repentance all enemies of your church and those who do not yet know you, that by faith they may with us confess Jesus Christ as Lord, amend their lives by the power of your gracious Spirit. Give us courage for the path that's set before us. Let us not grow faint or weary along the way that you're leading us through, but endure to the day of Christ's coming and receive this blessing. Well done, my good and faithful servant, enter thou in. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. We now come to the time in our service for our tithes and offerings. as the offerings are collected and presented this morning, we join together in singing hymn 533, Jesus Has Come and Brings Pleasure. Let's sing. If you're joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning into our service and wish you the Lord's blessings and His peace as He continues to lead us through this life to His glories of salvation and eternal life. If you're gathered in the sanctuary this morning, we invite you to turn over to page 10 in your bulletin, and we stand now, if you're able, for our service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death, that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and with archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, 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 holy
Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son Jesus Christ our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad, Southern Colorado's best country music. It's 11 o'clock.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson.